probably 1/4 of the size of a normal Lego.
And I think I've seen that. Mega Bloks? Okay.
What's that?
Is it Mega Bloks?
Well, Mega Bloks are like bigger.
Oh, so,
This is the funny thing. So I didn't realize this until I saw like a Steve Mould video about it. But like apparently all of the Lego sub brands like Duplo and Quattro, they are all they're all compatible with one another. So like one Lego Duplo block fits on two Lego blocks, and like one Lego Quattro block fits on two Duplos or eight. Like it's crazy the way that it all works.
Hey, that's neat, because that could do well for like customs, you know, like, yeah, I guess if you have like the bigger blocks to like do something, you know? That, you know, cause I just think like when I built that Nightingale, there's a part of it that was like gigantic, you know, and it was like, there's just this big piece here, but I guess it fills in a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Okay. So other than that, the other thing too, is I might've shown this off, like the,
Street Fighter,
the Jada toys. So like what's cool about this is it's amazing, because these aren't SH figures. These are like $25, but they're completely, completely articulated, like good quality and texture to them. Yeah, totally awesome. And I wonder, why did I pick one up? I think because when I was testing out to make that custom Richter Belmont, I got this.
The Phalong?
Yeah, to kind of see what these action figures were like in terms of their articulation and sculpt, just because at $25... You know, if I'm going to build a custom figure, I'd rather spend as little as possible.
Yeah, SH Figure Arts, they can run you a pretty penny. And so it's not worth kind of tearing them apart for a custom figure.
Yeah,
but those are looking really good. Like the ball joints, everything about it is pretty sweet. Oh,
everything about these figures are amazing. And the other thing too is when I was, you know, looking up stuff for like this custom here. What's neat that you can do on eBay is like just search like Mezco accessories. And there's a lot of like Mezco figures where it's like extras, accessories, cloth, goods, whatever. That it's like cheap on eBay. So I was able to like accumulate some stuff to build this. So, nice. And again, all of this, you know, really stemmed from building Gunpla. It's just because, yeah, as I would build Gunpla, get better at it, I would always look at little techniques like we were talking about. What are like little things you can do? And then it got to a point where I had the confidence, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just try to build one of these. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said before that like my little brother is really big into the Marvel Legends series. And I think he did something really cool where he took like some different figures and kit bashed them together to make like Loki, but like Loki from the TV show, as opposed to the you know, chaos god, right?
Yeah, that's what I like about that stuff. There's something about the action figures, the Gunpla, you know, customizing them and all that. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's like accessories for men. Right.
But the thing is like, you know, even as a kid, that was kind of something that I was already engaging in. And I wonder if that's kind of the direction. We talked about it yesterday when you mentioned, you know, Roblox and Fortnite. Kids these days, they really want to create their own fun, right? They really want to create their own things. And so when you have action figures that have accessory parts or custom parts that you can kind of kit bash together something, that's the stuff that kids really seem to want, especially nowadays. You know, when I was a kid, I used to collect like Dragon Ball Z figures, right? And I remember at the time, they didn't have a Vegeta that had like the short sleeved version of his armor, right? Particularly like the Frieza Saga version. Like everybody remembers Vegeta with like the little short yellow bands, but Frieza Saga version where he had the white bands on his shoulders. And so I ended up like taking a Majin Vegeta and coloring in his arms with blue Sharpie and like then filling in the armor plates that he came with Sculpey and things like that to create the figure that I wanted.
Wait. And when was this? Like in the 90s or early 2000s? Yeah,
this had to be like 98, 99.
Oh.
Turn of the century.
That's actually pretty neat, though, going that far with customizing back then. Although, yeah, that actually reminds me, the most customizing I did more than I thought. I took a G.I. Joe, got Play-Doh to put on the armor to make it look like Samus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the one main thing I did. And it was cool at first, but then it started crumbling and falling apart. And I was like, what do I do?
Yeah. But the things that they don't teach kids is like, you know, Play-Doh's great to play with, but not great. Like, you need Sculpey or you need like
a... Yeah, and that's something I was keeping in mind when I was putting this together. It's like, how can I put it together where I'm not doing any, like, super permanent things yet, but also to make it not fall apart? And it's really that tape. He thought it was magnets. It's tape. All right. Okay. So we're going to jump into this. And this is the thing you guys probably heard about. Call of Duty is getting some Gundam stuff. I like the title. I think, yes, it's real. Gundam is coming to Call of Duty. And I fully support Gundam cosplay in Modern Warfare 3.
Which is hilarious, like, because Xeonic Shadow in the chat will confirm that, like, he texted me the images of this, and I said, is this real? He was like, yes. So, I mean, this article perfectly answers how, I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, no, exactly. So we're going to break it down, but real quick. Jonathan Epan, sorry if I'm saying it wrong, heard the news recently. I know earlier you brought up, like, some hot news. And, yeah, there is the Amuro voice actor. You know, some things of him being inappropriate, unfortunately, yeah. But I don't know what I could add to that or say. It's just kind of disappointing, but
here's where I am at with it. Yeah. And I tweeted this out and I want to be kind of clear about what my feelings are towards this situation and how I think is a healthy way to respond to like this type of news. So I tweeted out pretty much paraphrasing this sentence is like, despite what people are going to tell you online, number one, you do not have to have an opinion on every single current event that comes out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay.
Yeah. And number two, you don't necessarily have to share that opinion out online. And so, you know,
I'll leave it at that. One of those things. It's always disappointing to hear when things involve, you know, the law enforcement and, you know, issues like that. It's unfortunate. But I'll say, you know, just only, you know, really being in the Gundam the past 5 years, you know, I think during this past 5 years or 10 years, I've learned that as people get older, people that are celebrities with a lot of money and fame, you tend to hear these things. And it's like... I mean, power tends to corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of my mottos is, of course, never meet your heroes. Like,
yeah, you know, you were saying
we've all heard horrible things about, like, you know, all kinds of celebrities. And I don't want to, like, start digging in the dirt. Like, oh, Sean Connery said this. Mark Hamill did that. Like,
yeah.
That, you know, you're going to find things that disappoint you about the people that you look up to. And I think it's more important to appreciate the work that they have done and what it means to you than to try and, I don't know.
No, I know what you mean, but I got to say, while you were getting all deep like that, I tried not to bust out laughing with Sonic Shadow saying I'd rather meet my villains.
It's perfect because at least with your villains, you know what to do with them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, cool. Okay. Yeah. So Ben, glad we cleared that up, but
yeah.
Okay. So back to the skins here in Call of Duty. So basically it's not a robot, which makes sense. These are people. So they have armor on. Yeah, which looks cool, because yesterday we kind of did a deep dive into a lot of this, but you brought up the term tactical, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of how they have this looking. You know, when I first heard tactical was a long time ago. For some reason, I was following a Nerf gun YouTuber that would just review Nerf guns. I don't know. I loved Nerf guns when I was a kid. And anyway, he would always say what's tactical to wear with the Nerf stuff.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there is a whole sort of culture around that, and I think that that's where a lot of like the appeal of you know, things like AR-15s come from. Like, because AR-15 rifle, it's not a particularly, you know, well, I mean, all weapons are deadly, but it's, you know, it's not a deadly weapon. No, I mean, it is a weapon, right? But I think that the reason that it's so popular is not necessarily because of any kind of function associated with it. It's definitely the look, right? It's got a very military aesthetic to it. And I think that, I mean, obviously Call of Duty fans love that aesthetic because that's like the bread and butter of Call of Duty, right? It's like the paramilitary aesthetic. And so when you incorporate Gundam into that, like, that is pretty sweet looking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think you brought it up yesterday, but it looks like a custom someone could make if they wanted to.
I don't know. Have you seen some of the Gunpla customs where people put like fabric, fabric parts and like, you know, maybe it's like a desert Zaku that has like some kind of like
fabric ape,
or like a sniper custom that has like one of those, I don't even know what you call them, like the ghillie suit that like snipers wear. That stuff is really cool. Like,
or I know you're a late UC hater, but Crossbone, I have a couple Crossbones that have
cloth. Full cloth.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. Which actually would have been a great idea for Call of Duty, like a Crossbone looking thing. But anyway, so it's the skin, obviously, and then Blueprint. So it's two Gundam Tracers, which basically it's special effects when you shoot your weapon or use your weapon. Let's see, which it's probably the beam rifle and the beam saber. And then this is cool, mobile suit malfunction dismemberment death effect. So I guess whenever one of these gets killed, I forget how it works. If it's you get killed or you kill someone with the suit, they die in a special way. That's separate from the finishing moves, which just says this has a finishing move, which is pretty cool. But you get a calling card, an emblem, which is like a way to really show everyone you like Gundam. That's, you know, that's actually pretty cool.
I mean, that would be self-evident if you've got a Gundam skin, right? Like, I can't imagine that there are a bunch of, like, Call of Duty fans that have never heard of Gundam that are like, well, I'm going to pick up the skin because
I think people would pick it up because it's tactical.
You think so? Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes that I was in, like, in 1994 before I'd heard of Gundam, right? Where it's like,
well, too, like when I would look at the store and even with my son, we would look at skins that are made up for Call of Duty and we'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. So I wondered, if some, but I don't know, because again, when I see an RX-78-2,
you and I are jaded. Like we can't unring that bell. So it'll be interesting to see what the sort of core player base thinks of this.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when like the Ash Evil Dead skin came out, I bought that whole thing and it came with like, you know, the calling card and all that. And I put all that stuff on. So someone think, oh, that guy's an Evil Dead 2 fan, you know? large decal, all that. Yeah. Charms.
What do you think when someone has like the Cheech and Chong skin and then you get turned into a joint and fall over and like smoke?
that stuff's silly, but I'm kind of glad they're doing it. You know, it's Call of Duty would just get
tired. Yeah. I mean, I think the way that you phrased it so many weeks ago that, you know, basically Call of Duty is now a platform and not a game. Like, I've never identified so much with a statement where it's like, you know, you really can't modify Call of Duty anymore than just like, here's the gameplay. It is a first person shooter. You know, it's got all the standard first person shooter things that you want. And we're just going to continue to pump out content around like what types of skins you can use, like weapons, you know, everything about it is just, it's just flavor at that point. Like, it has nothing to do with like affecting core gameplay or anything like that. Like, you're not going to pilot a Zaku and be able to step on other people. Like, that's not what Call of Duty is.
Right, which is funny you said that. I want to get to something that's similar to that here in a second. But that's a good point. And Call of Duty has done a good job of like introducing stuff like that. Like, again, the Doom shotgun that is like, 20 frames a second, or less than that, a few frames a second, because it's like the loading. Yeah. And it is really cool to see stuff like that, because to me, at Call of Duty gameplay, I know it. It's a very basic thing, and to be able to just jump in, play, and it being entertaining is cool. And so Zaku 2, same sort of stuff. But the aerial is interesting because the aerial doesn't have the finishing move, which maybe they couldn't think of anything for that. It could have been a splat. You know, why did they just have a hand animate and splat down on someone? So that's cool. So what's very interesting about this is today the Warhammer franchise had a ton of announcements, one of them being Call of Duty skins, which is interesting. So Call of Duty skins and Gundam skins at the same time, or Warhammer skins in Call of Duty with Gundam at the same time, which, again, you brought up, there was that April Fool's joke about a crossover.
Yeah, like a Warhammer partnership with Gundam.
Yeah, which I think it makes sense. What's neat is, so yeah, IGN put, because there's like a Warhammer stream, there's all of these games that are coming. So like if you're playing Call of Duty and then you see these Warhammer skins, you're like, oh, what's that from? And you can search. Now there's all these games that just got announced. That's that call to action I was talking about yesterday. Full details, Steven Show. But where's that Gundam call of action, you know? Call to action when people see the skin, and then what are they gonna then go look at or do? You know, there's not a show or movie.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing really for them to engage with. And if they were to buy one of the model kits, they would be disappointed that it doesn't have the same look as the Call of Duty skin.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. Again, it's like with the, well, so here's the other thing though. When we're looking at this, there's, I don't know how many games, more than 10, some is DLC, but what would your feeling be if this was all Gundam stuff? Would you think, oh, that's too much? Or would you be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've kind of had that conversation before when it, like with New Type Seiji, if you guys are familiar with him, great, you know, video game, Gundam video game specifically content creator, you know, there's so much Gundam content out there that is just really not getting the kind of marketing push that most, I mean, like if you look at something like Horizon, right? That's a franchise that is getting an insane amount of push right now. Like I think that they've announced like, you know, a Netflix series and like Lego Horizon, like all these different Horizon partnerships. Can you imagine if all of the existing Gundam content that we have out there was getting the same type of push? Because it is there. Like there are video games constantly coming out. There are series that are constantly coming out, OVAs, movies. We just had the Seed Freedom movie. Like there's so much stuff Gundam that's constantly coming out that just flies completely under the radar.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of thing too. And then there's things that happen, like, you know, Gundam Evolution getting shut down, the mobile game getting shut down. You know, there's these things.
I feel like Gundam Evolution being shut down got a bigger fanfare than Gundam Evolution being announced.
I know. That's crazy. And it's crazy too, because even in the Discord, my Discord, people jump in general, they're like, hey, I'm here to play Gundam Evolution. Like, people are like really into playing it since it can be played, which I remember the discussion be like, it's impossible. But no, it's possible.
No, and that's great. Like, I love the fact that, and this is, we always talk about this. It's like, if you're a Gundam fan, there are so many levels at which you can engage with the Gundam fandom. Like, you don't have to play, you don't have to build Gunpla, you don't have to play the video games, but there's tons of stuff out there for you to engage with if you want to. So,
yeah, you know what? There's something you reminded me of. Let me search it real quick. Because it was something I was researching the other day. Let's go 5 years.
Don't bring up the bad stock numbers. No,
actually, that's literally what I was going to do. Because this is more of, you know, it's kind of weird right now what's going on with the entire world in terms of the economy and companies canceling games, changing initiatives. And, you know, Bandai has already announced game cancellations. So here's what's interesting to see where, you know, in 2019, it was at $8. And it spiked probably due to COVID, right? Would we think, okay. But since then, it's been on a trajectory where it's actually nearly, it's at 9 now where it was before. So there was a spike, but it has been actually trending downward the entire time. And like, I wonder, does this change maybe things that were planned around this time, you know, to now it's like, well, because, you know, we heard they canceled some games, Bandai Namco, and it might have not been Gundam. Because, yeah. You know, it's interesting because with Warhammer, I looked up that the IP made like 300 something million last year, but Gundam made like, what, a billion, 2 billion, something crazy. And it's like, those are different numbers, but the kind of core, like, medium it is kind of the same. You know, it's hobbyist video games lore, and so I wonder, like, what is it like, well, the reason Bandai Namco can be worth so much is because they kind of play it safe, maybe. I don't know if that's true. What do you think?
Well, and they diversify their holdings, right? Like, if you were to look at every Bandai Namco video game, like, you know, you've got Naruto games in there, you've got Dragon Ball Z games in there. Yeah. So it's not necessarily just Gundam affecting.
That's a good point. Yeah, that was the other part. Like, how much is it the merchandise, Gundam merchandise sales, and how much is the video games? That I might need to break down a little more.
Yeah.
Because I wonder.
But I think that the numbers you were talking about, like, if you were to look at rates and, like, ratios, the ratio of Gunpla sales to Gundam video game sales is probably identical, if not extremely close, to Warhammer figure sales compared to Warhammer video game sales.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yep.
Because so it's like, the core business is Gunpla and the Warhammer figures. The marketing approach is from the video game side. And I think we talked about this yesterday, where it's like, you know, almost every Gundam video game is not necessarily a game that's meant to be played. It's a marketing ploy to get you to buy more Gunpla. Like,
yeah. So that's interesting then, because when I see all those Warhammer games that I would love of Gundam, because it's strategy games, it was third person action games, it was card games, you know, like, it's like, I would love a lot of Gundam stuff in that. And we do get it. It's just that we tend to get it in this weird cycle where it's like they drop us as fans and then they pick us back up. You know, so there's nothing consistent. Whereas Warhammer, they were showing DLC while then showing like the next game of that type to be coming out. Like, I love Bolt Gun. It showed, okay, here's some DLC. And then the 40K Space Marines coming out, which is another shooter, just third person. But it's almost like there's a constant flow. By this time, yeah, I'm done with this game. Now I would be getting into the next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really wonder.
And obviously the big push around Warhammer is because they've got the new, you know, Amazon, whether it's going to be a movie or a series, you know, that Henry Cavill associated project, like they have something, like they have a product at the end goal of this big push around creating more interest for Warhammer. So if we were to kind of speculate about the push going on with Gundam right now, with the Funko Pops, with the Call of Duty skins, you know, is this something that's pushing towards that live action movie? Because there's no way that, like, the Call of Duty skin is not to help promote Requiem for Vengeance. Like, there's no way in hell.
So exactly. That's a very good point. Both the skin and the Funko Pops really represent, like, original Gundam. Does that mean we're going to be getting something soon, or is it where I don't know. It doesn't make sense, because you would think we'd get Requiem for Vengeance stuff in these games, but they're not. It makes me think, does that mean there's something coming that's original UC based? Or if that's not the case, and are we going to be getting more tie-ins with Requiem for Vengeance? Because I think that's what the play would be. And, you know, JamKellX brought up how, like, it really should be in Fortnite, you know, Gundam stuff. And that's like the obvious thing. It's like, as cool as it is to see in Call of Duty, like, Fortnite is about creation. And, you know, that's where it would be. So that, and because it's Unreal 5, that's where I'm thinking, okay, maybe the Requiem for Vengeance stuff will eventually come to Fortnite closer to its release, because they're both Unreal Engine 5. Yeah, so
I mean, just scale 0.3. Like,
which funny, because you've done it. So, you know.
Yeah. But no, yeah. And like, you know, to be clear, like, we're not any kind of experts in the market or anything like that. But
oh, yeah. Because even. No, I'm sorry. Because I was just going to say real quick. I know I was showing everyone a graph. That doesn't mean I even knew how I was reading it. It's just, hey, number up, number down.
Right. Yeah. Clearly, my eyes can detect when something is higher than.
Well, hey, but, Ace Pilot, Austin Mangus, good to see you. Glad to see you here. 7 months. Dang. That's awesome. Two more, and maybe we would have a baby. I don't know why I said that.
That is a weird way to get it. It is. Weird place to go with that. But yeah, you know, like you said, I think that everything needs a call to action, right? Like, what's the.
Yeah.
What do you want people to do with this Gundam thing that you're presenting them with? And. While I agree that it's awesome to get Gundam in the face of people who are not already fans, you know, where do you go, right? Because, like, I think you brought up yesterday, there's nowhere to watch the original series right now. So, like, if you're going to show people the RX-78 and the Char Zaku, then they go to Netflix and it's like, well, what's this Hathaway stuff? Like, I don't...
You know, that's pretty interesting because, like, there's a lot more Gundam on Crunchyroll, but it's like you can't just, it's like no one just that's not into anime has Crunchyroll.
I would love to see the Venn diagram of Call of Duty hardcore players that would buy every skin and Crunchyroll subscribers, because that Venn diagram looks like this. Like, that's
yeah, no, that's exactly right, and that's what I'm kind of getting at, which is interesting because it's. And that's the other funny thing, and I didn't dive in too deep into how this impacts anything, but even, you know, Sony owns Crunchyroll. They had their corporate strategy meeting yesterday, and they were talking about how they're creating animation creation tools, almost like Sony wants to own anime. Did you see that about their anime creation tools?
Yeah, I mean, and that's awesome. Like, I got really excited when Studio Ghibli open sourced their animation software, and then like I tried to use it and it's like really, really hard. But you know.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. You know, and real quick, this other thing related to Call of Duty is I'm a huge Penny Arcade fan, and it's funny because I've been reading their comics since the beginning. And then there was like a 5-year gap. And then I went back and caught up. And then there actually has been another gap. I haven't been going regularly in years, but crazy to see they did a Gundam one. So it's like they say, okay, I saw that Gundam was coming to Call of Duty. And I was like, you know, maybe that's not fair to the other players. The RX-78 is fully 18 meters tall, but this is war. Everybody knew the risks. Its 60-millimeter head-mounted Vulcan gun and beam saber would dominate the field. Don't even get me started on the Hyper Bazooka. No, it's just regular skin. It looks like something you would get at Spirit Halloween. Fucking cowards. Which, it's funny, because, yeah, they can't really do anything else. But
yeah,
I just like how the Penny Arcade guys, or at least one of them, knew Gundam.
Yeah.
I would not expect that, you know, from this.
It's always funny when you encounter people that know Gundam that you don't expect. Like, I remember I was hitting my microphone here. I was on a marketing call with like my email service provider, and you know, he was like, hey, what's that behind you? Like, is that Gundam? And I was like, yeah, you know, I host a podcast and, you know, talk about Gundam on YouTube. And he was like, oh man, I loved Gundam Wing back in the 90s. That was like,
that's awesome. Funny you say that, because I'm normally not on Twitter. We've talked about that, but when I'm looking up X-Men stuff, a lot of times they'll say, oh, X-Men series creator Beau DeMaio said this, because he's like connecting things. And so I read that stuff. It's actually pretty interesting. But in one thing, he said one of his favorite shows is Gundam Wing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. A guy that did this badass job with X-Men is a Gundam Wing fan. And in his bio, it had his Gmail. So I just emailed him and said, hey, do you want to come on to the Gundam Explain show?
X-Men Explained When.
You know what's funny? My youngest made a YouTube channel called X-Lore. And he hasn't really posted much on it. I think he posted a short on there. He did like AI of like a story of Beast and Wolverine. I don't know. It was pretty cool. Yeah, no, it's fun.
Oh man, when he gets to House of M, like that's gonna be the good stuff.
I don't know House of M.
Oh man, that's well, I'm not gonna spoil it for you.
When did it come out?
Probably like before 2010, like around that, yeah. 2000, probably 2004, 2005. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to check that out. You know, because I've learned so much recently about comics, like when I would see, okay, well, I might as well buy the omnibus. But then when I would read what's included, it's like not all the comics. And I'm like, what? And then I realized, oh, it's because the stories are told in arcs.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, so you don't need them all. And I'm like, oh, no one said that. They should say that. Did I miss the memo growing up or something?
Well, because they don't want you to know that. They want you to buy them all.
Yeah. Like,
and that was the funny thing is it's like when the House of M books were coming out, it was like, you know, hey, don't you want to read Iron Man House of M? And it's like, well, why would I? Is he an X-Man? Like,
yeah. See the crossover. Yeah. No, that's very interesting. And so, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about, is that live action Gundam movie, because that would be the ultimate thing. Like, I think if you were to release these skins and then a trailer for the Gundam live action movie, that would make a huge impact, which makes me think, are we going to get an announcement more of the Gundam live action movie soon? I hope.
You know, it'd be scary if the way that they market the Gundam live action movie is the same way that they marketed these skins, where it was like, remember, again, I brought this up yesterday, where it was like, over the weekend, hey, here's a picture of a Gundam shadow in Call of Duty. Hey, Gundam's coming to Call of Duty. And then literally the next day, it's like, hey, yeah. Gundam's coming to Call of Duty. It was like, wow, this is a weird kind of, the timing of it was a little off. And it was the same thing with like Hathaway's Flash, right? Same thing with like Kukuru's Doan's Island, where it was like, there wasn't a lot of hype and build up to these things, or at least I don't remember it.
No,
I mean, they didn't even announce when the Kukuru's Doan's Island English dub dropped. It was just, here it is.
Yeah, I know. That is so weird. And, you know, I just wonder like what, you know, I don't know. I just keep thinking this live action movie and if it's going to have Char and Amuro because of, you know, the stuff that they're selling or trying to, you know, with the Funko Pops and the Call of Duty.
Now, if you were going to really reach and you're like, wait a second, Call of Duty has Gundam and Warhammer. Warhammer has Henry Cavill. Is Henry Cavill going to be in the Gundam movie? Because not
he's bright.
That is, that's like full schizo.
Oh, but what if he played Garen and they just made his hair silver?
I think he could pull off a good Garen. I don't know. What do you guys think? What would Henry Cavill fan cast in the 1 year war?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, someone else is saying bright.
No one's saying bright.
Gosh, it never gets old. That's interesting because you actually just bring up another good point is, are they looking to have some sort of casting in this Gundam movie that's going to help move the needle in some way, you know?
You kind of feel like they have to, right?
Yeah, like, isn't there that there's this blonde girl in the new Mad Max movie that is popular? Maybe she would be
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yes, thank you. Maybe that's Selah. And speaking of a Taylor, isn't there another actor that was recently in a movie or a movie coming out that's a badass and it's Taylor Johnson? Am I just making that up?
Taylor Johnson.
There you go.
Well, he's supposed to be the new James Bond, apparently.
That would be awesome, actually.
I think that, you know, because obviously I think that if you were to go 1 year war with the live action Gundam movie, you would have to age everybody up just a little bit. Like you're not going to have a 15-year-old in the Gundam. So
I agree. I even think that whoever plays Bright should be older. Because it just seems to me, and I'm curious what you think, when watching the original Gundam, Bright to me feels like he's older.
Yeah, I think I saw a post on Twitter that was cracking me up that was like, man, the 1 year war was hard on everybody because, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like Taquan's like 35 years old and like, look, I don't look great, but
pretty good. That's what, yeah, it, and you know,
yeah, I wonder how eyes be 35.
Like, what's that?
I think Romba Rawl's supposed to be 35.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
War. He looks like this grizzled old veteran.
Yeah. But that's a good point because, yeah, I wonder if, you know, again, we could be biased, but at my age, maybe I don't know a lot of younger actors. There's just a handful of actors right now that are great. They're just all older than a lot of the parts. But I think that, so I almost think, yeah, they skew older for a lot of reasons. Like you said, maybe it's better to tell a story where these kids aren't so young, you know, even though they can still touch on it, you know, they can still be 21 or 20 and considered young. But also, yeah, just making it really feel like Bright is that older authoritarian guy that's just going to lay the smack down.
Yeah.
But still cool. Yeah.
And I think that it would be really interesting to see sort of the cynical relationship between Bright and Amuro portrayed in live action, because I think a lot of that subtext gets lost in the anime a little bit. And I've talked about this before where it's like Bright knows that he's being unfair and that he's being, he's demanding too much of Amuro.
Yeah.
But he knows that he has to do it. Otherwise everyone on board White Base isn't going to survive. And so he puts Amuro in these positions constantly where he's like, you know, get in the Gundam. Like, I think I've mentioned this before, but the vote to attack, that episode, I think it's episode 3 or 4, is probably the most despicable thing that anyone has ever done in Gundam. Like, colony drop is nothing compared to Bright getting everyone together in a room and he says, hey, if we don't go and attack Char right now, he's going to come and kill all of us. Who thinks that we should go send Amuro to go fight? And like everyone in the room raises their hand and Amuro's sitting there like,
yeah, that is pretty crazy wording it that way. You know what, yeah. I mean? Like the way, yeah, the subtext is sort of lost.
Cause he could have done it in a way where it's like, okay, everyone put your votes in a basket or like, you know, we'll do it anonymously, but no, he wanted Amuro to see that everyone was voting for him to go, and B, if Amuro didn't raise his hand and say, hey, I'm willing to go, then everyone was going to think he was a coward. It is so cynical and so evil, but it's what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Did you cover that in one of your videos?
The I think I did.
Yeah, you might have, or if not.
If you can imagine that scene in like live action, I think that that would be
great. This is a great point because a lot of those situations in the anime, even though we can get it, I think it really works well in live action because these people are being put into situations that would really require actors that can really pull off, you know, distress, you know, being in life and death situations. It's very interesting stuff. Let's jump to something else real quick. Although I like the casting thing, we might revisit that again because that's always fun.
Yeah, I love that.
So you shared this with me. The White Devil. And so do we know what parts are on this?
I don't know. They almost all look like custom parts. Like I can't place any of them.
The feet looks so familiar to me. Like I feel like I've built something with these feet. I don't know if it's like the 30 minute missions. feet look like something from that, I guess. And then like the head, yeah. What is that? Easy 8 plus.
Well, and so when I first saw this, the first thing I thought of was the Gundam from Requiem for Vengeance, because it has that same sort of like weird,
yeah, evil head look. Is that what you're talking about?
It's almost got like kind of a, you know, I don't want to say AI generated, but it's like a fever dream.
Oh, I see. Where it's like it looks like a Gundam head, but there's something off about it.
Yeah, it's like you fed the word Gundam into an AI, and this is what it came up with.
Yeah, to be honest, I love that head design. Like, I even, for the most part, like the design except the legs. You know, I would probably put some classic Gundam legs on it, but...
Yeah, you know I'm not generally a fan of these kind of, like, spindly type... You know, for everything that's customized on this Gundam, I think it's hilarious that the shield and the beam rifle are just stock Gundam. Like,
I know. That is funny. I kind of do like that, how it's kind of, like, basic.
I mean, it's fantastic custom work, for sure. It but is. Yeah, I think that there's something cursed about it, right?
Yeah. I wonder... I noticed like the vents under here, if that was just shading in terms of the actual shadow, or they did some shading paint wise, because it kind of gives off a cool effect that would be a good idea for yellow vents on Gunpla, is to kind of have a darker orange, like on the sides or something.
Yeah, that's a common painting technique for like miniatures for D&D or for Warhammer, where you'll take different shades and kind of blend them together and create those gradients. And I don't think that that's something you could achieve with just like Zenithal highlights or something like that. Like, you would have to deliberately choose like a particular shade of orange and a particular shade of yellow to get that effect.
That's pretty neat. I just like the head on it. That was the main thing. I loved how menacing the head looked, but it was still like a Gundam head.
It kind of reminds me of like Guyver, if you ever...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about it, except I think I've seen that name and like, what kind of name is that? And then...
You know, that's something that's missing. We've talked about it before, like, you know, exotic Gundam weapons, whether it's like pole arms or whips or things like that. There's never an elbow-mounted blade. Like you see in Guyver. Elbow-mounted blade could be something pretty sweet looking.
Well, yeah, that seems like a good idea, especially in space combat, because you never know what direction you're going to have to go into. And that actually reminded me, because I know this is in like Star Wars Legends, but that new Star Wars show Acolyte's going to have a lightsaber whip.
Interesting.
Is there a beam whip? On any, there's got to be. I would think so, but I can't.
It's probably in G Gundam. If I had.
Oh, okay.
They have like the beam like scarf or that Master Asia has? Like,
yeah. It would be cool to somehow incorporate like a beam whip that like some enemy Gundam has. And Noble Gundam. I guess that's the scarf, maybe.
Yeah.
And then AU stuff. The Sailor Moon Gundam. I would say nothing in UC, but I would think in terms of UC, to see it in kind of that context where it's more the grounded look, it would be cool if it was like a goof type, like a later type where the thing that shoots out is actually just a beam and not just that cable, you know, that wraps around. Yeah.
And I think like for the purposes of physics, you know, I'm trying to think of like,
it wouldn't work. You can't. Light doesn't have gravity.
Like, right. So like it doesn't fall naturally. So you would have to have like some kind of endpoint, like a tether that it's attached to. And I always think about this when I'm watching like Boilai Hobby Time. If you guys haven't checked out Boilai Hobby Time, like great, scale modeler, does a lot of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever he's working with those LED filaments, one of the things that always kind of irks me is that you have to solder both ends of the filament. And so if you have like a beam saber or like a, you know, lightsaber, anything that's got a light on the end of it, you know, you've got to have this wire running up to it that connects the tip. And so the tip kind of looks weird because
I know what you're talking about, but it's like the only way to really achieve that specific look. Yeah.
And so I feel like that is what a beam whip would look like in UC, where it has to have like a cable attached to it and then a beam that runs the length of the cable, and then you can kind of whip the cable around.
Or it's like a cap at the end maybe that separates, and it's almost like that end is communicating then back to be like, okay, this would be what the physics would be. Or it's like maybe make it to where when it whips, it does a thing where it, you know, wraps around and then like decimates.
Does like a python, like
that's pretty neat. But I can kind of see why they haven't done it yet in terms of like in UC. All right,
well, they don't even do like beam shields in UC.
well late UC, which I know doesn't count in the Hatter canon, but
Hatterverse.
Hatterverse. That needs to be a thing. I don't know why. I think that's about it, everyone. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Oh, Plasma Whip, Armored Core 6.
There you go.
Totally forgot about that. Yeah. But yeah, cool. That's about it for today. Yeah, hope everyone has a good weekend. We'll see you next week on Steven's Show Wednesday, this show Thursday. So see y'all later.
Cheers.